Good morning to everyone. Today is the 25th Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for the day, which is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Brethren, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth his neighbor hath fulfilled the law. For thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is comprised in this word, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The love of our neighbor worketh no evil. Love, therefore, is the fulfilling of the law. Thus far the words of the epistle. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time when Jesus entered into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, a great tempest arose in the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awaked him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And Jesus saith to them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then rising up, he commanded the winds and the sea, and there came a great calm. But the men wondered, saying, what manner of man is this? For the winds and the sea obey him. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost, and your faithful thee. The good Lord, in the Last Supper, he said these words, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And St. John the Apostle, when he preached to the people, every Sunday, he told them the same thing. My dear children, he said, love one another. And he said it again and again and again every week. And somebody asked him after a while, John, why do you always preach the same thing? And he answered, why do you always preach to love one another? Because the Lord has commanded us to love one another. So you know, it's not just a nice idea. It's not just the right thing to do. It's also an act of obedience to God. And he commanded us to love one another. And in this epistle, St. Paul writes again the same thing. He says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth his neighbor hath fulfilled the law. And he repeats again at the end, love, therefore, is the fulfilling of the law. It is a keeping of God's command. And he names several of the commandments which are directed at us to the way we behave towards our neighbor. Thou shalt not kill. We are alive ourselves. We should be very pleased that no one is killing us. We would be sort of disappointed if somebody did it or tried to do it, tried to kill us. We don't want to be like the whiners who, whenever somebody looks at us cross-eyed, we say, you're killing me. And so somebody who needs a whambulance, right? But nobody's threatening your life. I mean, if they are, well, then we don't like that, do we? Well, therefore, neither does our neighbor like it if we would do something to them. And if we love our neighbors, we'll respect our neighbors. We will wish for them and do for them as we would have them wish upon us and do for us. And so the way we treat other people is an indication of what is in our hearts, if it's love or if it's hate and selfishness. He mentions the sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. If we love each other, we will not do such things. If we love our neighbor, we will not defile their soul. Those who commit adultery do not really love. It's a false love. To selfishness and gratify our passions, and meantime we soil our own souls and that of our neighbor. And God gave us in our baptism a share of His own divinity, His nature, the divine nature. That's what grace is. When we're baptized, we receive God's own life in our souls, our baptismal grace. And this is what makes us truly children of God, because we share the same nature as God by the grace of baptism. And if we would throw that away for some passion, some gratifying of a pleasure, not only for ourselves, but also for one of our neighbors, despoiling them of the kingdom of heaven and of the grace of their baptism, it shows that we do not truly love them at all, but rather we have a false kind of love for ourselves, which is not a genuine love at all. The seventh commandment, thou shalt not steal. It goes along with the tenth commandment, which forbids us to desire or covet that which we have no right to have. We have our possessions. If someone takes them away unfairly, we have been wronged. There is something out of kilter. And nothing is at peace after that unless the goods are restored and reparation is made for the damage. Well, if we don't want to lose our goods, then we have also to respect those possessions which belong to another and leave them their possessions. It's theirs. It's not yours. Eighth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Not only forbids lying in order to hurt someone, but all kinds of lying. When we are false, we break the eighth commandment. If we love our neighbors, we will not want them deceived. If we want to know what the facts are, we don't want our neighbors to lie to us. These commandments are good. They are very good. They teach us to love each other. So we must respect our neighbors, even if apparently, and maybe even really, guy is a loser. And he's got bad habits, and he does me wrong. I still have to have a genuine charity for him. And so that we, for somebody who's bad, not rather than to hate them, we work towards or hope for and pray for their improvement, that they get rid of their bad habits and that they become good. That's charity towards someone who's bad. It does not mean that you let them walk all over you. You may defend yourself against a bad person, yes, and you must, because you have to love yourself in the proper way. And so love does not mean you let your enemies walk all over you. On the other hand, it does not mean that you walk all over your enemy either. Right? But you do your best to make them into a friend, because it can happen. And with charity, a lot more good things happen than it do without charity. God is touched when he sees our hearts full of love. And he does much more than he otherwise would have done. In the gospel, we read about a miracle of Jesus commanding a storm. The storm was about to sink the boat. Jesus climbed into the boat. Apostles followed him. Get out in the water, and the storm came up, which put them in peril. They were ready to sink. They came and said to him, Lord, when he was sleeping, but they were concerned about their own lives. They woke him up and said, Lord, save us, for we perish. The boat's going to sink. And so the good Lord kind of said something that sounded like he was telling them to not to be all that concerned about it. Which sounds funny to us, but he said, why do you fear? You have little faith. And then he stood up and commanded the storm, and it stopped. And they were marveling about this. The last words of the gospel show us the reaction of the apostles. They marveled, saying, who is this that the winds and the sea obey him? He commanded these senseless creatures, the air masses and the water, these fluids, and they obeyed his command instantly, as it was indeed a miracle that everything stopped because he said that. Nevertheless, his divine power, and he can intervene, and the natural course of nature can be changed by God because he is in command of all things. The sun and the moon and the stars and the planets, they all stay in their patterns by God's command. And even though the laws of physics keep them there, we have to remember that God gave those laws of physics. They are his laws. And only when he wants to suspend one of them does he work a miracle. Normally, he does not suspend them. Miracle is an exceptional thing, and it's not something we're supposed to crave. So the apostles wondered that these things that don't understand anything, the wind and the sea, they don't understand anything. They have no knowledge, that they obeyed God's word. And so this teaches us, it's an example to us, that we have to obey Jesus Christ, that he is God, and that his commands to us, and especially this command that we love one another, these commands are very serious obligations on each and every one of us. And I will give you one more practical tip. The first, two more really. The first is that when we're commanded to love others, it's not always easy, because something is repulsive. And so it's not easy to love them. So what do we do then? We give them our love anyway, force ourselves to have goodwill, and we do it because we love God. God is perfectly good. And our love for God leads us to share his sentiments towards others. And he loves the other person. And so we say, well, God loves them. Therefore, so do I. Even though it doesn't feel good to me to love them. Feelings lead us the wrong way in many cases. And the second practical tip, because you're obliged to love your neighbor, remember also that the neighbor is obliged to love you too. Now, you don't want to make it difficult for your neighbor to love you. We ought to do everything possible with ourselves in order to make it easy for others to love us. God also commanded them that they should love you. Are you going to make it hard for them to do that? Stupid. Make it easy for them. You have to be lovable. Now the ancient question of makeup comes up again, you know. I tell the women, if you are beautiful, don't spoil your face with makeup, right? But if you are ugly, please put some on. After all, we have to look at you, right? Don't overdo it, you know, but whatever it takes to bring out the best results, right? And then it's not so difficult. Don't be ugly. Some people are ugly just because they have a dark cloud over them all the time. The devil inspires depression so that you'll be always sad and people won't even want to talk to you. You'll always want to talk to others. If you're depressed, you'll want to have a lot of attention from other people and all that stuff, right? But each time you do that, you're going to try to draw them down into the depths of your dingy dungeon sadness, right? The devil inspires that sadness. He is behind it. He's not the only cause of sadness, but he loves it, and he tries to amplify sadness, to make us mope and grope and complain, and wah, wah, wah. Woe is me. Everything is going down the tubes. I'm lost. You better cry with me. And the devil tries to make that happen. Of course, he's not the only cause. Other things really cause us to be, our spirits to be dampened. And yet, he does his best to do it himself. And when it's caused by something else, he tries to make it still worse by adding his own ideas and suggests things into our mind to make us even sadder still. There is nothing more beautiful on a person than a smile. Even if they have a few teeth missing, right? Or yellow ones, right? If you see a person is genuinely happy and they have a smile on their face, even if they're the ugliest scutter that you ever saw, there is beauty there because of that happiness. In order to be more and more lovable, we have to be happy. But how are we happy? We remember what is good. The devil tries to emphasize the bad things. There are bad things. I'm not trying to pretend there's nothing wrong in the world. That would be stupid too. But on the other hand, to have our hearts and minds all wrapped up in what is evil and hard and no good, and to forget on a general basis what is very good and still very useful and very good for us, well, this is a great imbalance in the personality. If you meet a very holy person, I had the pleasure to meet Archbishop Lefebvre one time, twice really. And each time, what made me wonder was just how peaceful he was. It was like the great calm. In today's gospel, he was following God's commandments. His heart was fixed on God. And he was at peace with himself and with God, and nothing really disturbed him. But it's not, would be probably wrong to think that he started off that way when he was baptized and never changed. Most of us go through a learning stage in our life and we learn to be at peace with God. And we don't put our hearts too strongly on other things, but reserve the lion's share of our hearts for God himself, so that he is our stability. God becomes our happiness. And then obedience is natural. You know, God wouldn't like that, so I won't do it. Well, that would be pleasing before God, so therefore I will do it. And we make our decisions and moves in such a way that we're at peace with God. And then it's so much easier to be happy, to be lovable. And we need to do that for our neighbors. If we love our neighbors, we will make it easy for them to love us. By keeping God's commandments and being at peace with God, others will be impressed, and they will want to be like you are, and they will learn from good example. That is one of the best things we can do for our neighbors, is to set a good example. When they see a good example, people see a lot of bad examples. They don't see a whole lot of good examples, but they need it to be the other way around, and you can make the difference by being a good example. So you show a good example. If you got a habit, a vice or something, which other people see, get rid of that vice. I could say, do it for God, and that would have effect on some of you, and some little effect on all of you, and some big effect on some of you. But if I say also, do it for your fellow man, do it for the guy that sits across from you on Sunday. Do it for the honor of your poor mother, right? Your mother, she's, everything that you do wrong reflects on your mother, believe it or not. That's why it's so offensive when somebody speaks ill of our mothers, right? We must not reflect ill on her ourselves. We have to get rid of our vices and be more and more good and lovable. So work on it. You have everything you need to do it. And the hardest part to becoming a saint is not very hard at all. And that is just making up your mind that you're going to do that. I'm going to be a saint. How am I going to do it? Well, keep the commandments, correct myself when I make a mistake. Be careful so I don't make so many mistakes. And be lovable so my neighbors can also be good. And if I start all these things and do it right, I'll be fulfilling the law. As the epistle said, he who loves his neighbor fulfills the law. He keeps the whole thing. Full and filled. The whole law. And so let us then to this day make up our minds to be like St. Paul suggests, that we love our neighbors and also to help them to love us by being very good. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.